Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is August 22nd, 2019.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we're in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in the case of an emergency, text Dan Sell and let him know you're calling, so because of all the robocalls. But that number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
You can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this on our ministry hub, and much more, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide. Okay, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations, and so please pray about supporting airtime. Mm-hmm. Now, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like the city of Zagreb, Croatia.
That's Croatia, but I don't know the name of the city. It's Zagreb. I'm even lost on that one, but that's Croatia.
Abiba, Ethiopia. Stockholm, Sweden. Madrid, Spain.
Got that one right.
And, of course, the good old cities of the USA, which is Riverside, California, Atlanta, Georgia, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Omaha, Nebraska. And this week, Madrid, Spain is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs. That podcast later tonight.
Yeah, and Madrid, Spain, that outdid Wichita. Wichita actually came in third. Atlanta, Georgia was second. Madrid, Spain was first. Atlanta, Georgia was second. And Wichita was third. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I just ask that you give my wife and I the proper words and the proper things to say to the people. So we bless the people, Father, and bless your program, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to you. So, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. We'll always tell you to say hello, but about by now they know who you are, but tell them hello anyway.
Shalom.
Shalom. And that was my wife, Linda, that you're hearing talk with. Well, you know, summer's going away, and so we're now bringing in different radio guests. On my program later tonight at 7 p.m., we're going to have Joel Richardson on, and he's been up to a lot of things over the summer. In fact, I was looking it up. I hadn't had him on in about 9 months, and that's really pretty unusual for me. Usually I have him on about every 6 months because he's always doing things, writing books and everything. And actually, the reason I didn't have him on is I thought he was over filming at Mount Sinai all summer, and he wasn't. He was doing other things. He's getting ready to do that in October. But his buddy, he set me up with his buddy, Ryan Morrow. Anyway, M-A-U-R-O. He's the guy that filmed Finding the Mountain of Moses. Now, that's, Joel was there at the same time, but this is one that he put together. But on the next trip, they're planning on filming to do a theater version.
They still haven't went on that trip yet?
No, because they got to get passes into Saudi Arabia, and so it's up to the whim of Saudi Arabia when they want to let them in the country, and they don't know what they're doing,
And they probably aren't really hip on them filming anything anyway, really.
Let's go back to that. They don't know that they're going to be over there filming.
Yeah, they won't get no passes
right,
if they find
so,
out.
You know, we probably shouldn't talk about it too much, but anyway, but next week we're going to have Ryan on, and that's going to be a really great program because he's got a lot of feedback on it, on the film and everything that he did put out, and it's available on YouTube. And you can find that information at prophecyhour.com if you go to the pastor's page. But anyway, he'll be joining with me at 7 p.m. Central also next week. And my wife, by the way, you're going to sit in on that interview, the 7 p.m. with Ryan, as he talks about that video. Because in your spot next week at 5 o'clock, I'm going to have Derek Gilbert on. Now, Derek Gilbert is a part of Skywatch International and Defenders Publishing, and he's going to be on talk with me talking about his new book, Bad Moon Rising, Islam, Armageddon, and the Most Diabolical Double Cross in History. That's a really interesting book, and he's got a lot of great information, and he will be on next week also. So, you know, this is kind of a notice. You can tell during the summertime it's harder to get different radio guests because these guys are out. Most of these guys are all, they've been out there doing prophecy conferences and all these different things. And so they've been really busy out ministering and doing different things. And so it just seems like when school gets back in, you know, things settle down. And so I'm going to book a lot of great guests coming up. As we have always in the past. That's what this program does, is book people that write books. And, well, we can't get out and do those things. There's a lot of people that can, and they will come on with me. Anyway, so last week, you noticed some end time signs, you know?
Yeah, earthquakes all over Kansas.
All over Kansas. Now, we're talking about specifically in one county. Wasn't all over Kansas. It was in one county. There was 11 earthquakes in 5 days.
All in the same county?
All in Hutchinson.
Oh, really? Hutchinson had 11 in 5 days? Wow.
Well, when you noticed...
Another sign of the end times. In Matthew, it says there'll be earthquakes and more earthquakes in diverse places. That's different places where they've never been. That's Kansas.
Well, right. We've always had a little bit. We've never had anything quite like this.
Not 11 in 5 days, anyway.
And in one, but here's the kicker: in one place. We're talking about one county. We're not talking about spread out. And the 4.5 one they had knocked things off shelves, even in stores and stuff. And so we've never had anything like that. And so that is a big deal. And these are going to be more and more. You know, in fact. Finally, there was an earthquake report that came out. You know, they were saying, well, what brings on big earthquakes? And to me, it always seemed like a dumb question because I thought the answer was obvious. And they say a whole lot of little ones. And places like California having hundreds and hundreds every day. These places are just an accident waiting to happen. And now you can go to the USG thing and you can get a earthquake alerts, you know, and go over there and check with them, and you can see where all these earthquakes are happening right now, and you know, and a lot of them around Yellowstone, which now the news is finally coming out and pointing to, well, yeah, but Yellowstone went out, it's in the regular news, that it would devastate the United States, but for that matter, it devastates the world because the amount of dust put in the air. But all these things are happening, but we are at the beginning of sorrows. These things are going to happen when they happen, and it is all part of the end time. Also, there's a mad rush. I noticed, and I'm trying to get some of these guys on that have been having some dream visions about some things. But the point is that while a lot of people are seeing these end time visions of things, and they keep pointing to the United States, is that, the United States is going to be blown up, but so is the rest of the world. You know, it's going to be in a mess. And so, yes, I agree that a lot of these people's dream visions are right on, but that is indeed what's going on. Anyway, so we've seen a lot of those increased things.
Well, I want to read what that says in Matthew because it is pertaining to what's going on. In Matthew 24, I'm just going to read 4 to 8. Says, then Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for they are, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Now, doesn't that sound like what's going on right now?
Well, right. And, you know, and also, you know, there, you know, now I've been dealing with the prophecy world for a lot of time, for a long time. This one right here, all these are the beginning of the sorrows. I've heard prophecy people say that for years. Oh, we're in the beginning of the sorrows when one little thing happens because they can't place it anywhere else in history. But here's a factor. If you read, here's the point. People scripture pick, and you know, you say, well, you guys are scripture picking. Well, we don't have time to read all of Matthew 24. But if you read all of Matthew 24 and take this in context with the rest of Matthew 24, you also find out there's some other really big signs. One, Israel going back and becoming a nation. That's the marker. When Israel went back and became a nation, that started the countdown of the final generation of the end times. And that is where we're at. So then when you see these other things coming to pass during that time, and they're intensified, right. No, never have they been as much, but the marker is that the generation wouldn't pass away until all things were fulfilled once Israel went back and became a country. And, you know, most people say that was probably not the when they actually became a country in 48. But when we took Jerusalem in 1967, and you add it to that. And so, but the point is, we are in those final times. I don't set dates or anything like that. You can tell that it is the biggest sign, even bigger than is something we're going to talk about today, is the disgusting way that the world is behaving is much more of a sign and much more of a plain sign. And getting rid of Christianity and being anti-Semitic is a bigger sign than merely these earthquakes, which, of course, is a big sign. But anyway, on another thing, that was also a really freak wind that I've never seen anything like that. 140 rail cars were derailed about 30 miles from us down the road by a rail
city of Walton.
Yeah, city of Walton. And
actually, it was at the... And right at the end of the south end of Walton, clear to the passing lane almost. So it was right outside of Walton on the south end of Walton. But, yeah, they're still over there. They got all of them upside down and all the wheels off of them. I imagine they're disassembling them to scrap them.
What I didn't realize until I actually read the article about it is actually, so there's two tracks right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And there were some cars parked. They were parked side by side. So it looked like the cars on the outside, the one facing the road, were all mangled and torn up, and the ones on the inside were just knocked over, you know.
On top of the other ones.
On top of the other ones. But it's a mangled mess. Like
it was terrible. They're still working.
Did you come back that way today?
Yeah, they got all the cars upside down and all the railroad tire wheels off of them. So it looks like they're disassembling them and making it scrap metal to haul it off.
That's some of them, and some of them they have lifted back on the track.
All the good ones are already gone. Everything there now is all scrap.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so they got, and there was a whole bunch of, folks, there was a whole bunch of oil cars that were off of the tracks. There was there was a huge amount of big black oil tankers. Cars.
Well, I'm glad that didn't spill.
And the news, tell you how inaccurate the news is, though. The news said, all the cars were empty.
Oh, baloney. I seen big old huge pile of garbage there was, and that had to come from them cars.
It did.
Damaged. It packages. Some kind of merchandise was in some of them cars because there was a huge pile that they had a big old crane putting it in a dump truck today.
Well, right. And you know what was missing from Florence for a few days? Well, because all those tracks were blocked, our trains. Yeah. Stranger. So, and you folks on that listen to me for any period of time know that it's pretty loud because of the fact that you can hear it in the background of radio. Anyway, that's from a picture that you sent me, and I'll just read into this a little. This is how disgusting that people are. This came from the Christian Post. Boys as young as 10 years old are sold into sex trade, dressed up as girls across the United States. Now, I've known this for a long time, but, you know, people just don't get it. These are from the elites, and which is a strongly Satanistic thing going on. Anyway, a growing number of young males, some just 10 years old, are being forced into the sex trade in the United States, with traffickers dressing some little boys up as girls before selling them. Now, here you have that transgender thing coming in that they're trying to force on. And remember, they're trying to make pedophilia normal in the United States. Anyway, the co-founder of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking said to Fox News, Americans don't realize that boys, and not just girls, are commonly being victimized and trafficked. The magnitude of the problem, the number of kids being sold for sex here in America, most people think of just girls, but it's also boys. If we look at one particular study funded by the Department of Justice that identified an estimated 36% of the kids that are trafficking are boys.
Kevin Malone, USIAHT co-founder and former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, told Fox that sometimes traffickers dress young boys as girls before selling them. In 2016, the Department of Justice commissioned study youth involvement in the sex trade found that boys make up about 36% of the children caught up in the U.S. sex industry. And I just seen an article yesterday. I didn't read the article, but the headline was Child Protective Services busted in a sex trafficking ring.
I got it.
Really?
You probably got that off of Facebook, but I do have that. Anyway, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children found that the average age of a boy enters commercial sex trade between 11 and 13. Now, now here's the one you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, now listen, and this is widespread, and we've had a problem in Kansas. Now, address this, the fact, because you can just talk about it. Don't DHF here just, haven't they just snatching kids and trying to take them from their parents?
Oh, yeah, for no reason. I know a few people that's had their kids taken, and it takes them years to get them back, if they get them back. They try to keep them. And I had an attorney tell me that the reason they do that is because the state gives them $5,000 per child as soon as they take them out of the home. They get $5,000. So if they get a family that has three or four kids, they're making money because they make the parents that they take the kids from pay that back to the through child support services.
Right.
So they're really it's a money racket like everything else, and the ones paying for it are the children.
Okay, but we say a money racket. There's much more going on here. This is from medicalkidnap.com, folks. You can check it out. Medical Kidnap interviewed a woman called Tammy Stefano. And she's an executive director of the National Safe Child, the NSC. She exposed corruption happening with Child Protection Services, family courts. California benefits financially from having children in foster care. Now, listen, read that in California there.
She states that adults who are incarcerated in the penal system, an average cost to state about $48,000 per prisoner. For children taken into foster care, however, one child can bring in up to $1 million of revenue to the state.
$1 million in revenue. Now, that just doesn't go, we're not, because you got several different agencies involved and everybody gets their palm greased, but it brings in $1 million per child. Now, that's pretty dramatic. Now, where do you go on? So these children need extra care given medical treatments such as psychotic drugs. One out of every four children in California's foster care are prescribed powerful
psychiatric.
Thank you. I'm tongue-tied today. Anyway, Stefano also went on to say that one mom, his son was sent to a behavioral modification camp. He was labeled defiant. So they gave him electroshock treatments and build the mother at a cost of $7,000 a week. Finally, the son got out or whatever, and her son's now 23, and she says 10 years left to pay on her payment plan to pay that back. Now, see, you were right.
Yeah.
They get it from the parents.
I had an attorney tell me that, so I know when attorneys aren't really always truthful, but, yeah, I believe him on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, we always say, how do you tell when an attorney's lying is when he loses his lip?
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have an attorney that I but,
and that's just not right to.
It's just like everything else. We talk about the church. We don't mean everybody in the church, and we don't mean all attorneys. But you almost believe that. Anyway, let's get this over this part over with real quick. Anyway, when Stone asked her who, LA turning foster children over to known sex offenders. Now, when Stone asked her who CPS was, turning these children over to such gruesome statistics, Stefano replied that she discovered that the Los Angeles Times was kind enough to publish was that 1,000 convicted sex offenders had been given a green light by CPS to become approved for foster parents in just Los Angeles County. Now, here's where we're talking about the sex trade thing. And then, that isn't even the worst of it. Read the rest of that.
Stone asked Stefano if she has encountered sex trafficking among children. She replies, we need to cover it. We need to cover it a lot more. As an example, she mentioned a sex trafficking case with CPS in Orange County, California last year. Stefano says that of 105 sexually abused victims that were found in this case, 65% of those victims were in foster care system under CPS control, and they were allegedly never reported missing.
Okay, stop. So the children disappeared into sex trafficking, and they weren't even reported as missing, and we're also finding out that they were being put in with sex abusers. It's all about exploiting the children. These are Satanistic people. Folks, check us out at prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go and let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus can save. On the cross his life blood he gave. He poured it out for sinners. He's looking for redeemers. I tell him that he rose from the grave. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus is King. Peace and love and joy he will bring. And when they feel like dying and there's no use in trying, let's tell them Christ is everything. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Let them know that God's on the throne and gives them every good thing they own. Let's teach them to be grateful and pray that they'll be faithful, that he's the best friend they've ever known. When let's go, we got to let people know. And baptism of fire. Tell him that he'll fill them, he'll touch them. the sick and heal them, and those with heavy hearts he'll inspire.
Major components of what is now labeled Christianity, Christmas, Easter, and Sunday rest, were not a part of the faith practiced by the believers that walked and talked with Christ. In fact, they can be traced directly to the practices of nations which participated in pagan sun worship. Scripture warns, "Inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods." The Bible says that the time will come when sound doctrine will not be endured, and that after their own lust, people will select teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. It goes on to say that there will be those who will turn away their ears from the truth, and who will be turned into fables. We are instructed to hold fast the faithful word of sound doctrine, that we may convince or reprove the gainsayers, which the Bible labels vain talkers and deceivers, who teach things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. If there is no biblical support for the observance of Christmas, Easter, and Sunday rest, how did these traditions become the three major components of what is now recognized as Christianity? The prophet Jeremiah provides the answer when he states, "The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Kaplan, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. With us is a Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, and we're back, right?
We're back.
Yeah. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Big difference.
That just depends. Anyway, we were talking about some pretty gruesome things about statistics with children right now. About them disappearing, and I'm going to address the issue of them disappearing. What a lot of people don't understand is, you think, well, where do these kids go that disappear in foster care? Well, one of the things that is really disturbing, while that article did point that they went to sex trafficking, there's even another more gruesome thing that happens to them. Now, way back when we first, around the time when we first came out of the world, I had handed to me a booklet, and I still have it someplace, and it was a booklet that was used by the Wichita Police Department to train the police about Satanism, you know, and all those kind of things, what to look for, cult things and all that. And it taught, and you know what, it showed all the cult hand signs and lots of things.
That book.
yeah, things like this. But it also pointed to about Halloween and different days that the children, that there were children disappearing and that children were being actually sacrificed. You know, and over the years, you know, I even talked with an FBI agent through the Prophecy Club that was a speaker one time. I can't remember his name, but he went around and was on a speaking tour, and he talked about the same thing. And, you know, they train it, and it's put out there in the FBI. So in among law enforcement, anyway, it used to be. I don't know if it still is within the last few years, but, you know, I imagine that it is. They're commonly trained against Satanistic abuse, but the point is they're making children sacrifices. And so some of these children that disappear and never appear again, you know, they've been sacrificed because, you know, they weren't children.
Or sold off into sex trafficking rings and hid off in somebody's house somewhere being abused.
Well, right, and that's what I said. We already had the stats that prove that. What I'm saying is, in addition to that, children are being sacrificed and being murdered. You know, and so, yeah, absolutely, they're being abused. In fact, right in Wichita.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not, if young girls aren't put into those cults and disappeared into those cults to become pregnant so they can have fresh babies that they can sacrifice and drink their blood.
Well, that's absolutely what you said.
Because I've heard that before, too.
Well, it is and that is part of the thing, see, is they will get these young children and they'll have them breed. You know, they'll have them breed.
Yeah, because there's no sign, no birth certificate. Nobody can prove there was ever a life. It's the perfect murder.
Right, absolutely. If you can't prove they're alive, then...
The only thing they got to go on is some child that's been abused and been made to have a baby that she can't prove she even ever had. They'll just call it psychotic or something.
Well, let's go with this, too. Now, here's another a thought for you. You know, we have all these... Right now, it's easier to get in the United States if you have children coming across the border illegally. And so we have it's proven fact that a lot of people are renting children or buying children from parents in these poor countries. And, you know, well, I don't know if they dupe the parents believe they'll get the kids back or they believe that the kids will just have a better life or whatever. But it would not surprise me in the least if a lot of these children that are brought across the border are mentally, once they get here, are turned around and sold into the sex trade. Back there are stats that says that. So a lot of these innocent children that are coming up from these poor countries, and the liberals say, just turn them loose and let them go. You know, yeah, that's what the liberals want. When you bring them in, turn them loose and let them go. Well, you know, our president has been forcing these people to take DNA tests to prove that the child
is. And he's found a bunch of them. They're not even in relation to each other.
Okay, and so there's my point. So if that person got turned loose with these supposed their children, that person more than likely he or she isn't going to want to raise that child.
No, they don't have to live by the United States laws or anything. So they're just going to turn around and sell the child and
sell them or just flat turn them loose. So again, he had child abuse. You know, the father says that it'd be better that you hang a millstone around your neck and thrown in the water than doing something to a little one. And this is going on massively over and over, exploitation. And if that isn't so bad, you have all this stuff. You have, look at this. Now, we'll go into that one in a minute, but like this one here. Okay, you have there's a national conference going on right now that teaches librarians how to sneak drag queens past parents. Well, first off, if the parents object, see, liberals go past rules. They don't believe in law. They're lawless. That's what we got under Obama. They're lawless. They're being without law of any sort because they're superventing the laws of their own nations and policies of their own libraries and the rules. They're not playing by the rules at all. While conservatives and Christian people, we try to stay within the law. We try to stay within the guidelines and things. And so that really puts us at a disadvantage, so to speak, not spiritually, but in the real world, it puts us at a disadvantage because we try to play by the rules. It's hard to play by to do things right when the person that you're dealing with isn't playing by the rules. And that's what you get with a godless person. See, because with a godless person that doesn't believe in God, they don't have that moral compass that says, okay, if I lie, I'm in trouble with God. Or if I commit murder, I'm in trouble with God. Well, if you don't catch me, then I'm in no trouble at all. That's their attitude. And so you don't know if a person that's without God is lying to you or not. You don't know if they're telling you the truth. So it's hard for a believer to deal with somebody that's a non-believer because you don't know when they're lying. They're not playing by the rules, but yet you are playing by your moral compass.
Right.
And so these people are subverting the laws in order to bring this drag queens. Why would you do that anyway? So you think that's cool, but why are you so, any way you look at it, it's sexually explicit. It may not, and you're showing that to little children and in libraries, but let's go on with this. Here you got what? What's that say?
Another drag queen reader exposed as lewd criminal. Yet another lurid. Drag queen who was reading to children in the public library setting has been exposed as a sex criminal, in this case, a male prostitute. Really?
Yeah. And well, now, but this says, catch your headline. Another drag queen reader. Another. This has been going on. They've been finding out that a lot of these drag queens that they are in here doing these things with these children are sex offenders, and they haven't even checked out their backgrounds or anything. And so these are you have sex offenders exploiting themselves in front of children, to little tiny babies, to make them think they're normal so they can do what? What did that other, now let's put the things together. The other article said that the boys were being sold into prostitution, but they were being dressed up as women. So you have,
and they make them look like little girls. They don't look like little boys.
Right, but here is it goes into the thing, the drag queen, and it makes the boys and more acceptable to it because they think it's normal because they've been taught it in the library.
Right.
And why do they use in libraries? Because people just, what do you think about when you think library? Education, right?
Education, learn.
That's where you go to learn, right?
Right.
So if a child says, oh, I'm going to the library, then it must be educational and okay, right? Yeah, exactly. And so you have these abominations, and I will say abominations doing it. I mean, you have churches going along with it. You know, it's just ridiculous. Now, this is one that ought to knock your socks off. Read that.
According to an article published in the Norwegian newspaper, Dargens, or whatever, of March 10, 2017, as well as several sites, Norway legalized marital unions between humans and domestic animals.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah.
Okay, here you go. That is part of things that were being taught by the Nephilim in way back in Genesis. That is the sin, also the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here they even had a 22-year-old woman telling that's in, she's showing her, and I put this article over there at the pastor's page. Anyway, I think I did. I'll make sure I did. But she was joined and married, and this was a couple of years ago, but it's still legal. And so her husband, as she says, is Rudolph, and it's a dog. And somebody asked her about sexuality, and she says, well, we do things that all married couples do, but it's really none of your business. So, in other words, she's having sex with a dog. That's an abomination. Being married to a dog is an abomination. The Bible says in Genesis it's one man and one woman, not one man and 20. And, by the way, in California, they're starting to allow polygamy marriages. In fact, there's a couple that's been together in California for 7 years, two girls and a guy, and they're getting legally married in California. With, I think it's within the next month. The point is, this is all Sodom and Gomorrah. They learned these things from the fallen ones. The fallen ones are back and they're pushing it. It is a war. We are in an end time war, and if you don't open up your eyes, then you need to open up your eyes. Things are not normal, folks. These signs are bigger than any signs that we can see as far as wars, rumors of wars. those things, but these things right here are a sign of the end time, and it's a battle. Now, let me tell you what. The liberals are in the United States are all out here pushing these things, and if we, the American people, do not stand up, if you do not stand up and help keep Trump in office, then and you get a liberal in office, these things that we're talking about are going to be normalized. They are going to be part of your society, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. Now, I mean, now look at this. This is a sign out of a California school in kindergarten. Now, excuse us, but I am going to make my wife read just the words that we can see. This is a sign in a classroom about sex education for kindergartners. Now, what all does that say on it?
The sex education in kindergarten. How do people express their sexual feelings? Oral sex, sexual fantasy, caressing, anal sex, dancing, hugging, touching each other's genitals, kissing, and what's the other one?
Vaginal.
There's something below it, but I can't read it.
Probably penetration. But the point is they are teaching same-sex love. They're teaching all these things are normal. Even if, and I'm not going to in any way stretch or deform that any of that, any about normalization, but why would you teach that to a child, a
kindergartner?
Because you want to be able to exploit that child. So by the time that that child gets
10 years old, you can sell them in sex trafficking.
Well, but they're going to consider it normal. Huh. And that's the thing. Just like this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, that everybody's talking about, that just supposedly committed suicide in prison, that he has that island called Pedophile Island, where Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew and all of them have been to. And this guy has been, now his bag is young girls, you know. This case after case of him, you know, young girls anywhere from like 12 to 14, 15, 16. Some of them as old as 17, but that's an old one for Jeffrey. But he's been doing this all his life, and he's a super, super rich guy. But all his, there's picture after picture after picture of him with elites from all over the world. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. There's records of him, of Bill Clinton going to Pedophile Island 26 times. And a picture in the guy's study of Bill Clinton, a painting of Bill Clinton in this guy's study at Pedophile Island with Bill Clinton sitting in an easy chair, and he's wearing Monica Lewinsky's blue dress that she wore when she gave Bill Clinton, you know.
Oh, my God.
The thing. But the point is so this guy, I honestly believe this guy was murdered or he was set up to allow himself to kill himself in jail. But the point is if they follow it to its end, you're going to find connections not only to Hillary Clinton and the crown, you know, Prince Andrew, that's Prince Andrew of England, and but to these people, rich and powerful people all over the world, a lot of them Hollywood movie stars and politicians and university professors, and these are the elite that we're talking about that's involved in all this garbage, and it's Satanistic stuff that's going on. This is an underbelly that most normal people don't realize is there. Things that in the prophecy world, we've been talking about this for years, but Satan is trying to rule the world, and this is just disgusting. That just like that picture. Now you have, you know, and folks, if you put a little girl in a pageant, you know, we got a picture of a little girl and the way that she's dressed and everything up here that came from one of these articles, and it's disgusting how they're having her pose.
Like a dancer on the stage.
Exactly, like a dancer with her legs spread wide open, and she is wearing short shorts, and it, you know, it's just disgusting. But it's going on. But where are all the parents in this? You know, Common Core, sex ed for young children, commercials, media. I mean, where does it stop at? Does it stop? Now, you know, we also see liberals are pressing really, really hard to, you know, they're getting in with the Muslims. They don't realize really what they're getting, because if they had Sharia law here, they couldn't even do the things that they're doing to put Sharia law again. But Muslims are trying to take over the world. That's also predict, but you know, a lot of people don't understand about the Muslim faith that Muslims sodomize young boys predominantly. While they're, and I don't understand how they split it, because they'll throw a gay man, a gay full-grown man, off a roof for being a queer.
Right.
Okay, but kids, 10, 12 years old and younger, that these Muslims think it's all right to even have a word for it that I can't even pronounce, they think it's all right to get the treasure from little boys, and they can sexually do whatever they want to little boys, and they want to make it normal. That's why part of the reason that the liberals are also on board on trying to make pedophilia legal, because you can't bring Sharia law in if pedophilia is illegal, because part of Sharia law says that they can do these things to these young boys, and let alone that they can marry children as young as they want to marry them, girls, little girls, you know, a little 8-year-old or 9-year-old girl. In fact, that was the same thing that, you know, their Muslim great Muhammad did. They follow his example. Just was like for Christ-like, they try to be Muhammad-like. And so you should go, people, you should read the history of Muhammad. But they're trying to make these things normal in the United States. There is a Muslim pot to rule the world. Here's what a liberal playbook is. Go ahead and read this. Three things, Mom.
Liberal playbook. Make evil seem relatable and sympathetic. Project is actions is uncontrollable due to persecution. Suggest that understanding evil will prevent it from committing more abuses.
Okay. Make things more sympathetic, to be sympathetic towards, oh, that poor pedophile. Yes, we need to relate to them. They're doing that. Project his actions as, well, it isn't his fault. It's uncontrollable because of the persecution that he experienced. And suggesting that understanding evil, if we just understand him, it'll prevent him from committing more abuses. That's all a load of garbage. This is all a load of garbage that they're trying to push on you. And it doesn't come just, these people are being fueled by Satan. Folks, if you can't see it, Satan is trying. We are in the end time. We're in that time of the end. And if you want these things to take over, I suggest that you just sit down on voting day and not get off and vote. Because if Donald Trump does not get to become president, these things will happen. And you also, you folks that fell down and allowed these Democrats to take over the House, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you didn't vote. If you didn't get out and vote in your local election and a Democrat took over the seat in the House of Representatives, you should be ashamed of yourself, because you need to get out there and vote. You need to do your part. You need to be talking to your pastors about it. You need to get the pastors to start talking with that hands-tied-up church that just opens their mouth. In fact, Donald Trump passed a law when he first got in here. He wrote an executive order, said that churches couldn't be persecuted for political speech. So, pastors, start speaking about this. Quit being demonically, politically correct and say what the Bible says. Anyway, that's all I got to say on all that today. So, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the Wichita Mission Church. So, where were you at today?
I went and picked up the hygiene items. I actually did the clothes closet, so it's nice and stocked full for when you open tomorrow.
Okay. Anyway, well, that's good. That's good. Well, so, you know, and these hygiene items, and it's really still strikes me as funny that these people questioning me about a week or so ago, trying to say, well, you know, how are you giving this stuff out? Because you're giving out any more than any other agency. And I said, well, I'm not an agency. That's how. I'm a church. I don't put guidelines on things. People have a need, we give it to them. And that's how it works. You know, so, amen. You know, we do give out a lot. And like I said, I told them, so you can come down. I prefer you to come down on the day my wife's there, not just me. So there's plenty of, you know, we have, because we're really busy. Tell that, do we need some help over there, a volunteer?
Yes, I said that last time on radio. We school went back and we lost all of our helpers. All the kids are in school now, so we don't have anybody. I do Tuesdays, and I have Dad to help me, but he does Fridays, and I have to stay back and wait for the kids for church. So he's basically there by himself on Fridays, but we still need somebody on Tuesdays and Fridays. Lots of work to do.
Right, and we can always, whether, you know, I can use help at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. 4:30 when the meal's served, or right afterwards, help with the cleanup. And, you know, we're a working ministry. This is what the Father kept me up all night and put it on my heart. Go ahead.
And right now, if anybody's in the mowing lawn, he will need the lawn mowed tomorrow. I noticed it needs mowed, but he's not going to have time to mess with it. He's going to be busy. So if anybody wants to stop by there, it's just one curb strip, so it takes about 30 minutes to mow.
Yeah,
needs
if that,
mower. If not, I'll mow it when I get there.
I'll have Elijah mow it when he gets there with you. You're not going to mow it. But the point is, and the reason that I don't mow it is I've got 3 discs out in my back. I can't push a mower. Anyway, but the point is so, you know, we help a lot of people, you know, and we
need men's clothes. What is what we need?
Yeah,
we haven't been getting a lot of clothes lately, but somebody brought some from a sale that was, they got all the leftovers, and I managed to stock the closet pretty good, but it's all women's. There wasn't very many kids, but it's all women's clothes in there now, and a few men's shirts, but we really need men's clothes.
Yeah, amen.
Blankets, all warm stuff, because the end of the month, it's going to start getting cold at night, so a lot of them are sleeping outside.
Okay, moving on. Anyway, I've got this little story I want to tell you, and this reminds me of how it's been during the summer. This is called not One Drop of Wine. And here it is. It says, there's an old Jewish story of a couple about to be married. They lived in a small village and had invited everyone from the village to their wedding. Each guest was asked to bring a jug of wine for the celebration. Each jug of wine would be poured into a giant vat to be shared by everyone. As the wedding day approached, each member of the village thought, well, if I don't bring in my jug of wine, it will not be missed among so many other jugs. The wedding day arrived, and the couple were married, and everyone was excited. But as the tap of the vat was opened, not a drop of wine flowed for it, for everyone had been sure that someone else would. And that's the way that donations have been this summer. You know, it just seems, you know, people... And that is the way it is in general with donations all the time. You know, people think that you're on radio and so you're raking in millions of dollars, and we raking in millions of dollars.
Shoot, no, huh?
No,
millions of pennies, maybe.
Millions of pennies. I don't even know what a million pennies is. So, but the point is that we do need your support, folks. And while we're starting to get out of the slump, we'll do good once we get in. Another month or something down the road, but there's a lot of expenses coming up in the winter, but we need your help now. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We can always use large print King James Bibles. In fact, there's another case of them on the way from Omega Man, I'm told, and one sleeping bag, but we need more than one sleeping bag. We need a lot of things. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us, men, women, and children from all walks of life. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through, and that's whether it's before dark or after dark or any time. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love's the answer. How do we treat them? We treat them like what?
Family.
Family, of course. And so that's how it is. You know, so pray about it.
I got something to say real quick. I was looking at our tables. We got a donation a few years back for the outside under the awning of some tables. You know, like you see when you go into a restaurant with chairs and stuff, and it's wood, and they really, really, really need painted, and the tops need recovered because all the rain is, they're not going to last much longer. So if anybody wants to help with that project, get a hold of us because we really need to get it done.
Right, amen. That needs to be done quick, and I have some work that needs to be done outside. But we need to, just for that alone and to do the painting that the building needs, I need $1,000 just for maintenance for the building before winter hits, and that's going to come quick. Folks, remember, we are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father donation notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air.
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, tell them goodbye or whatever.
Okay, shalom. I'll see you next, or you'll hear me next week.
Okay, folks, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.